So we're going to be looking this week at Women of Holy Week. And I thought maybe I'd start just by addressing the question of why these women? Why are we talking about these women? What is the thinking behind that? First of all, let's just start with why are we talking about women? Because I know somebody, apologies if you're here, I don't know who it was, but somebody did ask Nikki if only women could come this week. That's not the case. You're all welcome. But the specific reason I chose women, first of all, was, well, in Genesis chapter 1, when God creates humankind, what he says is that, we read there, it says that in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So man, woman created in the image of God, in God's eyes, men and women are equal. We're then told, if we're going to Genesis 2, we see that when God forms the man, he looks at the man and he says it's not good for the man to be alone. And so he makes a companion for the man, someone who will be of equal standing, that will be alongside him to help him. And God creates the women. So to see either gender, or to treat either gender as anything else than equal, is to deny God's intention for us. It also diminishes the image of God that he has placed in each one of us. So that's why I wanted to talk about women this week, because we can equally learn as much from women in the Bible as we can from men in the Bible. Why these specific women is because there is something about their character that we can learn from. And I'm thinking this week particularly around the way they bring their worship to Jesus. Something that can teach us, something that can challenge us in the way that we worship Jesus. So this week I'm going to be focusing in on that word worship. And we'll be thinking about how these women bring their worship to Jesus. So that word worship. Now, often in the pulpit we're at absolute pains to explain to people that worship is not just singing. Worship entails so much more about your life. And yet, whenever we use that word in our church setting, we're always talking about the singing. I want us to expand our thinking now and go that worship really is more about singing. None of these women, well, Mary does sing a song, but we're not going to think about Mary's song. But we want to push beyond just our thinking of worship as singing. So it always helps to switch it on. So what is worship? What is the working definition that we're going to use for this week? So from the Bible Study Tools website, talks about worship as this way. It says worship can be defined as the reverence or adoration that one shows towards something or someone. Holding a person or an object in high esteem, or giving a person or an object a place of importance or honor. That's what we're going to think when we think about worship and the way these women worship Jesus. We're going to think about it in that way. How do they revere and adore Jesus? How do they show that reverence and adoration towards Jesus? How do they hold Jesus in high esteem? And how do they give Jesus a place of importance or honor in their lives? That's what we're going to be thinking about this week as we look at these different women. And of course, as followers of Jesus, the focus of our worship is on God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Over the next 4 days, we're going to look at how these women brought their worship or showed reverence and adoration towards Jesus. And we're going to do that by looking at how Mary and Martha did that through service. Mary Magdalene did it through surrender. Mary, the mother of Jesus, through submission. And the women at the cross, which is just my way of saying, and the others, through sacrifice. So that's the four areas of worship, or the four ways of worship that we're going to look at this week. And we're going to follow the same template each evening. So we're going to think about who they are. We're going to think about how they worshipped Jesus. And then very importantly, what we can learn from them. Because these talks are always about more than just information. It's about transformation. It's about how do we take what we learn and apply it to our lives. And is there things that we need to do differently, we can do differently, we should do differently. So that's how things are going to run this week. And if you're here tomorrow night, you'll hear all of this again for the sake of the people that aren't here tonight. And eventually we'll make it shorter and shorter by the time we get to Thursday. So if you're worried that I'm repeating the talk tomorrow night, it's just the beginning. So we're going to think about who Mary and Martha are, that first question. Who are they? What do we know about them from the Bible? After Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary and Martha of Bethany are probably the most significant women in the Gospels. One of the Bible commentators, a guy called Ben Witherington, his conclusion is that after his mother, Mary and Martha are probably the most significant women in Jesus' life. We're told in the Bible that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and that he frequently visited with them, and he shared meals with them, and he went into their homes with them. It seems that outside of the 12 disciples, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were Jesus' closest friends. These are the people that he went to when he was coming to Jerusalem. He stayed with them, he visited with them, he ate with them. What we know about Mary and Martha is that along with their brother Lazarus, they came from a small town of Bethany, which was about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. So it made it convenient as a place for Jesus to stay whenever he visited Jerusalem. While the Bible doesn't tell us how they met Jesus, it's safe to assume that they probably would have got to know Jesus through his frequent visits to Bethany. Whenever he visited Jerusalem and came to Bethany, they would probably got to know him that way. What also becomes clear is that whenever we encounter these two sisters, it's clear to us that they have very different personalities. They have different ways of responding to Jesus, different approaches to what they should do whenever they're in Jesus' company. When we encounter Martha, she's always on the move. She's always busy. Even when Lazarus dies and Jesus comes to Bethany to see them, Martha comes rushing out to meet Jesus first. We're told that Mary stays in the house and only comes out at a later time. But when Mary does come out the house to meet Jesus, she falls at his feet. And this is the place that we so often find Mary, at the feet of Jesus. We see it in the two passages we're going to read. Once just sitting at his feet listening to him. And on another occasion, she comes to him and she washes his feet. She anoints his feet with expensive perfume. And because of their two different personalities, we're able to see different ways of worship that they bring to Jesus. So let's start with that question, or let's move on to that question. How did they worship Jesus? As I say, two different personalities, two different characters, two different ways of worshiping Jesus. We're probably aware of the stories, very well aware of the stories of Mary and Martha in the company of Jesus. I know I've preached on them too many times, and I'm sure you've heard many, many sermons on them. So two stories that I want to share. The first one comes out of Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42, and this is what the story says. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Familiar story to us, so I don't think it will surprise you when I say that Martha worships Jesus through service. Remember how we defined worship earlier? The reverence or adoration that one shows towards something or someone. When Martha hears that Jesus is in town, she invites him to her house. She has a meal prepared for him, a big meal. We're often critical of Martha being distracted from Jesus, that her focus is taken away from Jesus by her busyness. And we focus on what is definitely the point of the story, which is when Jesus says about Mary, that Mary has discovered the one thing that is worth being concerned about, implying that Martha's busyness has distracted her from that one thing. And I'm not going to focus on that one thing today. What I will refer you to is our YouTube channel and the sermon that Norman preached on the 18th of June 2023, a really good sermon to listen to. If you've not heard it, go to it. If you have heard it but you can't remember what I'm talking about, jump back into it. The one thing that is necessary. But what I want to highlight in this passage is that we're told that Mary was distracted by her many tasks. The New Living Translation says that she was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. Big dinner, big meal, lots of stuff that she was putting together for Jesus. Although it took so much of her time, so much effort to do, there was nothing that was too much for Jesus. Nothing in Martha's eyes, nothing in Martha's life that she could consider was too much for Jesus. To Martha, Jesus was worth it. So Martha serves Jesus in the things that she did, in the tasks that she did. But Mary also worshipped Jesus, just in a different way. She also worshipped him through service, but she served Jesus at his feet. When we defined worship earlier, we also said that worship was giving a person or an object a place of importance or honor. Surely by always finding Mary at the feet of Jesus, we could never doubt that in Mary's life, Jesus held a place of importance and a place of honor. And it's in one of those times that we find Mary serving at the feet of Jesus. We find it in another familiar story in John 12, verses 1 to 8. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said that perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor. Not that he cared for the poor, he was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. But Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." So while some of the disciples didn't understand what Mary is doing and why she is doing it, Jesus recognizes that Mary's unselfish act was preparing Jesus for what was to come next in his mission. She was serving Jesus through preparation, but doing it from the place that we so often find Mary, at the feet of Jesus. So let's move to that final question. What can we learn from Mary and Martha? With our understanding that worship is the reverence or adoration that one shows towards something or someone, holding a person or object in high esteem, or giving a person or an object a place of importance or honor, we can have no doubt that Mary and Martha's different acts of service were also acts of worship. When we look at Martha, we see that her act of worship is to give everything of herself to Jesus. Her home, the food in the house, her time, her effort, her energy. In the first passage, we read that when Jesus arrived in Bethany, Martha invited Jesus into her home and prepared for him a big dinner. In the second reading, we can sometimes assume that what's happening there is happening in their home again. But when we look at a version of the story in Matthew's Gospel, what it tells us in Matthew 26:6 is that it was in the home of somebody else, in the home of somebody called Simon the leper, who also lived in Bethany. And when we look back at the reading then from John, we can pick up things, from Luke. I've got myself muddled up. We can pick up that it mentions that Lazarus was among the guests, among those who ate with Jesus. There would be no need to mention that if it was in his home. So this is clearly something happening in somebody else's home. And yet, even though this meal with Jesus wasn't in her home, still we see Martha giving of herself. She's the one serving the food, even though it's in somebody else's home. Martha took every opportunity that she could to serve Jesus. Martha is an inspiration for what it means to worship Jesus through service. But Martha also shows us things that we must watch out for. What Martha struggles to see is that there are different ways of serving Jesus and different ways of worshiping Jesus. It's easy to slip into that place where we see our way of doing things as the only right way. And we develop a critical eye towards others who are doing things differently. Martha's response to Mary sitting at Jesus' feet listening to him shows us that there is a jealousy and there's a bitterness starting to take root in Martha. She's lost the focus of the object of her worship. She's lost the reason for why she's doing what she's doing. Her bitterness towards Mary shows that she has allowed one of two things to become the new object, the new focus of her worship. Either the work itself, either just by being busy, she is motivated by doing stuff for Jesus, so motivated that the stuff that she does has become her new idol. Look how busy I am. Look at all the things I'm doing. Jesus is here. I've got to do things. And so busyness has become her new God. And she is bitter towards Mary because Mary is not worshiping this new God of hers. And so she's allowed the work itself to become the focus of her idol, the focus of her worship. Either that, or she has allowed herself to become the idol that she worships. By drawing attention to what Mary is not doing, she's drawing attention to all that she is doing. She has become the object of her own worship, and the hope is that by drawing attention to everything that she is doing, Jesus will hold her in high esteem for all that she's doing. He'll say, well done, I'm so proud of you. Look at you, Mary. You go. I'm Martha. You go. You do it. You're showing us all what we should be doing. In short, she wants Jesus to worship her too. So we need to watch out for that. We need to keep reminding ourselves on who the focus of our worship is so that we don't allow bitterness, we don't allow disapproving thoughts, we don't allow jealousy to creep in when we look at others, but rather we recognize that there are different ways of worshiping Jesus through service. And we also need to watch out that we don't focus the worship on ourselves by talking too much about how busy we are and all the stuff that we're doing. And how the church is so lucky to have us because, you know, we just do everything and hold everything together. Yes, we all want appreciation and we all want approval for the things that we do. But the reality is simply that we're not always going to get it. People will not always show their appreciation. People will not always show their approval to us. But God sees what we do. And God approves of our worship. He sees what is in our hearts. He knows what our motivation is. He knows why we're doing it, and he sees it, and he approves of it. And one day we will hear those words spoken to us, well done, good and faithful servant. And then from Mary we learn that service is not always about busyness, that it is possible to serve God in quiet, unassuming, and unnoticed ways. When we think about sitting at the feet of Jesus, we often think in terms of our quiet time. When I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus, I'm there with my Bible open, nobody around me, just me and God, and I'm spending time with him, reading his word and praying. But what Mary shows us and what we learn from this is that that time at the feet of Jesus can also be a time of preparation for what is to come next. If you're a leader in a ministry in the church, or maybe you're a life group leader, or you're in some other role, where you're involved in things and doing things, that time you spend at the feet of Jesus can also be a time of preparation for what you're going to be doing next, certainly of what God is going to be doing next and inviting you to be a part of it. We can spend time praying over what God wants us to do. We can spend time asking God, is this what you want me to do? I'm really keen to be doing this. I'm thinking that this is what you want me to do. So show me what it is that you want me to do next. Or even the doing itself, spending time just alone with God, praying over what questions are appropriate for a group discussion that you're going to lead. What Bible verse or what passage is the right one to bring into your life group this week to think about? Or maybe it's preparing food bags and just praying over them and just talking to God about them, about the homes that they're going to go into. Or when you're preparing a meal for someone, you can do that at the feet of Jesus, just praying as you prepare it, praying over the food that you're preparing, for the home that that food is going to go to, for the love that people will experience, that they will recognize that it's God's love. There are so many ways that we can turn our acts of service into a quiet time of worship, and that we can turn our quiet time into acts of service. And let's not forget your role for some of you as grandparents, the ones who are always there to be counted on when unexpected things arise. Spending your quiet time can be spent in preparation for the things that you're going to do and you're going to talk to your grandchildren about. That you'll point them to Jesus, that they'll understand how much Jesus loves them. That you use that time in preparation for the service that you are fulfilling in your role, either as parents or as grandparents. There is a lot that we can learn from these two women about service and how that service is an act of worship. Of how we can be busy doing things for God, but remember who we're doing it for. But sometimes we can also be still and still be serving in some way, or at least preparing ourselves for the service that we're going to bring. Shall we pray? God, we thank you for these two women. They are an inspiration and an example, but we learn so much from them. We learn about things that we should be doing, things that we shouldn't be doing, things that we should focus on and things we need to be careful that we don't focus too much on. And God, I pray that we will be challenged by this, that we will think more and more about how our service is not just another job that we're doing, another task, something more that we have to take on in the church, but that it is an act of worship. It is saying, God, I'm doing this for you. I'm not going to be doing something else. I'm going to be doing this, and I'm going to be doing it for you. But God, may we also recognize in Martha that sometimes that busyness can distract us from you. So it's important also that we not be too busy, that we recognize that it's okay to say no to some things, because just too much leaves us little space for you. And so God, we thank you again for the way that you speak to us. You speak to us gently and you speak to us lovingly. But you call us to come closer to you. You call us to become more and more like Jesus. And sometimes that is a painful task, and sometimes that is a challenging task. But we know and we are confident that we have your Holy Spirit in us to help us. And so we thank you for him, your Son that you gave to die on the cross and rise again, and your Holy Spirit that you gave to live in us. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.